If I had my way, I would just teach the word. But, you know, you got to do the formalities, right?
Yes.
I don't know why that is, Jose. It's always like that, though, isn't it?
It has to be.
Yeah. Well,
you have to say what you are.
Well, they need to say what they're thinking, too. So, I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. And I have God's favor in my life. En español. Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. It's always great to break the ice, huh? To get into a little positive affirmation. We've all gone through many things in our lives, and we've all come through many experiences. Some of them good, some of them bad, some of them indifferent, some of them very different, and some of them religious, and some of those religious ones have actually formed why we think and how we feel the way we do today. God's word is given so that we feel the way He wants us to feel, so that we think the way He wants us to think. There are times when God's way of doing and feeling and thinking contradict the world's way, religion's way. Hey, we've all come through a lot of stuff. So if you're ever wondering, you know, why do I feel like there's a battle raging in my mind? It's because of the things you've come through. And it's because of the things you've been taught. And it's because of the conflicts of those things with God's word. It always comes down to that. The battlefield is always in the mind. It's nowhere else. You might have a tummy ache, but that's not where the battle is. The battle's up here. And God's word is for the mind. We're told to put on the mind of Christ. God's word is the mind of Christ. And so we end up battling things between our ears. Now, depending on how many crazy things you've come through, that determines how many crazy things you have to get out of so that you can really become who God wants you to be. Colossians has a really great section in chapter 1 that talks about five fabulous things that took place for us. The whole focus of these actions turns out to be you. And therefore, these are important things for us to know. Well, there's a little problem. When you read this section in Colossians, it's actually Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. When you read these, it's a little confusing. The impact of what God's saying doesn't really come through in the English translation. So we're going to switch over to German today. Just kidding. I marvel at the German Bible, though, because it's so close to the Stephen's Greek text. All the things that when we read the English and then have to add in the little changes, and you've heard many of them, some of them you'll be familiar with today, they're already written in German. So anyway, no small wonder, I suppose. Well, let's take a look at these verses. I've titled this teaching, The Work's Been Done. And what work? Well, it's those five fabulous things. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read through the whole section, 13 through 22, and then I'm going to go through it again, but with the changes from the Stephen's Greek text, and then I'm going to go through it a third time and read it as a literal according to usage. In other words, no notes, no parentheses, no brackets. I'm just going to read how I think it ought to be written. Okay. And it's my opinion based on my work. And if you'd like a copy of how I think it ought to be written, and it's called A Literal According to Usage, just ask Joe to email it to you because I've already sent it to him. Okay? That way you don't have to try to scribble it all down here. All right. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, you get a real good feeling out of it for sure, because a lot of the truth comes through. You understand some neat things. You see the word delivered. You see the word translated. You see the word redemption. You see the word forgiveness. You see the word reconciled. Those are those five things, by the way. They all matter, and they make an impact to your understanding. But there's a whole lot of words around those five words that are a little confusing. Well, let's just go through it again now and straighten some of that out. Now, what I've done is I've gone into the Greek, and I've ordered the English words according to the Greek. Because when they translate the English, they'll switch the order sometimes for no reason at all. But I'm just going to give it to you the way it just flows in the Greek. And all the translators agree with this, so it's not something I'm just making up. And I'm going to also show you words that don't belong. And I'm going to also show you other meanings for some of the words that actually are what the Greek means or says. So, verse 13, who delivered us from the authority of darkness. And this is written in the aorist tense. Aorist is a tense that indicates something happened in the past. It's a one-time action, but the results of that action carry on forever. And the way you know is if it does or doesn't have the word have or has or was or something like that, to be verb in front of it. For instance, here it says, who delivered us? It didn't say who has delivered us. If it said who has delivered us, then it becomes the perfect tense. And that's different. Okay, but this is aorist, and that means that the deliverance took place. It's a done deal. And you'll see aorist tense in the Bible all over the place, and it's really important. And so this will show up here a few times. So who delivered us? It's not hath. That's my point. If you put hath in there, it changes the meaning, and it says it's something that has to keep happening. This deliverance has to come again and again. No, it happened one time, Aorist, who delivered us from the authority of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. You've probably heard that said before, the Son of his love. You probably have, some of you might even have notes in your Bible about that. This is one of those verses in the German where it just says it, the Son of his Liebe. Anyway, that is what I've worked out in verse 13. So we've been delivered from the authority of darkness. It's a one-time in the past action. So if you feel like you're still dealing with the darkness today, you got to wake up and realize, no, you've been delivered. It's already taken care of. And you have been translated, which means you've been moved into Christ's kingdom. Okay, and that's an interesting word too, I guess, in the German, because it means region. You know, you've been taken from one place and you've been put into another. Now, how can you turn this into something practical? You need to change the way you think. That's how you do it. You've been removed from darkness and placed into light. Now that's where you are. God put you there in the past. You can't undo it. You can't go be a bad person and undo what God did for you. Okay, he did this for you. That's why I called this thing, the work's been done. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I'm just reading to you the changes I've made already. In whom we have redemption, that means you've been redeemed from the curse of this world and Satan and all the mess that's associated with it, the forgiveness of sins. You have the forgiveness of sins. That means you don't have to go beg forgiveness anymore, as churches teach. The Bible says you have it. It's a one-time deal in the past. The works of Christ gave this to you. And that's why I said you were the focus of all this activity. Wow, that's really amazing. You don't get that from a video game. You get it from God. Really amazing stuff. Verse 15. And I really like this one. Who is the image of God the invisible? That's how it reads in the Greek. The firstborn of all creation. It's not just creatures. Creation. Usually when you see the word creature in the King James, it's creation. Who is the image of God the invisible? Well, in your Bible it says who is the image of the invisible God. But there's more emphasis here if you read it the way the Greek flows, who is the image of God the invisible. That's pretty cool. Jesus Christ is the image. He's not God, but he's the image of God, the invisible. The firstborn of all creation. Not Jesus Christ, God the invisible. There's a whole lot in that, but we won't sidetrack. Verse 16. Because by him, the invisible God, or God the invisible, were all things created. And I put a little note in there. It's talking about the possibility of all things, the ones that are going to be listed. Because when it first started, you know, you didn't have the lordships and the other things that are listed here. But he established the possibility so that they could happen. Because by him, the invisible God, were all things created in the heavens and upon the earth. Here they are, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or principalities or authorities. Well, at the very, 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 very beginning, these things didn't exist, and then God created them. But he didn't create, you know, Joe the ruler. He created the possibility that a ruler could be, and that the hierarchies in lordship and dominion and all that could happen. You see what I'm saying? Well, there you have it. All things by him and for him have been created. Now, that's written in the perfect. Have been created, which means there's ongoing effects. It retains the ongoing effects of this creation. But the beauty of this is that the creation can't be altered by the devil. Okay? So when God set up the way things are going to work, it's kind of like the laws. You know, the law of gravity, for instance, it still works today. Well, these are spiritual laws of order and organization and power, things like that. God set all this up in the beginning so that they could be. They still are to this day. There's a president of the United States, for instance. He's allowed to rule. Okay? There's leaders of other countries. They're allowed to rule. And there's spiritual implications in there as well. Satan is the god of this world. He's allowed to because God set this stuff up. That's what it's saying. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and all things in him subsist. So as you're reading the English, when I read this to you, you can see the changes. Let's read it together again. And he is before all things, and all things in him subsist. That's a little different. Just a little different. Verse 18. Okay. Verse 16 and 17, we're talking about God the invisible. Now, you have to understand this. If you read this and say, well, that's talking about Jesus Christ and that's talking about God, and you just don't understand the scope of the word and other parts of the Bible that explain how these things work, you get confused. Verses 16 and 17 are talking about God. Now in verse 18, we start talking about Jesus Christ. And he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body. Well, you can go to Ephesians and figure that one out. The church, who is beginning, drop the word the, who is beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might be in all things holding the first place. That's the way God designed Jesus Christ. He's in place numero uno. Verse 19, because in him, Jesus Christ, all the fullness was pleased to dwell. That's very different. Jeremy, read verse 19 in your Bible out loud.
For it is pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Which is okay. But the Greek says, because in him, the Father stuff isn't even in the text. Because in him, and I put in brackets, Jesus Christ, all the fullness was pleased to dwell. Well, who's the fullness? God. Isn't that something? Verse 20. And by him to reconcile all things unto itself, and the best understanding I have of that is the church, or to God. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, whether the things on earth or the things in heaven. And what we learn from this is that this act of Jesus Christ covered everything that was set up against God and his family. That's why verse 20 is so important. All of the works of Jesus Christ took care of all of the problems that the devil brought in. All of them. Verse 20 again. And by him to reconcile all things unto itself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, whether the things on earth or the things in heaven. It didn't matter where the problems were. You already know there's problems on earth. But what about in the heavens? Well, Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, right? He took one third of the angels with him. So these works of Jesus Christ took care of all the problems. I know you guys know this, okay? But this is good to kind of like straighten out your thinking even more. This clarifies it. It helps you get in touch with the reality of the Word, because when you're out there in the world, things get pretty confusing. You deal with all kinds of emotion, all kinds of weird stuff, and those things are all designed to cause a battle to rage in your mind, all designed to keep you from thinking God's Word. Well, the proactive Christian is always thinking God's Word, always speaking in tongues, and always lining their life up with who God says he or she is. Really something. Verse 21. And you, once being alienated and enemies in mind, yours not in the text, by wicked works, yet now were ye reconciled. Now, I'm going to say something about this, but I want you to understand there's no period there. You see there? At the last part of that verse 21. Is there a period in your Bible? Not supposed to be. But they put a verse break in there. Don't ask me why. Man made these verses, okay? God didn't make the verses. You know that, don't you? If you were to take the text, it's just one big glob of letters. Man's the one that started breaking it up. And I'm glad he did. But a lot of it's inaccurate. And it ruins some of the meaning. So verse 21, and you, once being alienated and enemies in mind by wicked works. I'm not convinced that these are talking about your works. I'm convinced these are talking about the devil's works. Because he's the one that caused the whole problem. I mean, I can't say that I was really a wicked person. Were you? I don't think so. I mean, maybe you did some things that weren't so hot, you know, but this alienation stuff, you were born into. It's what it says in Ephesians. And then when you got born again, you were made a citizen of heaven. You were made a part of God's family. And the judgment it talks about in Romans is something you were just born into. It says that we no longer have condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That word condemnation in Romans 8:1 is talking about judgment. Judgment? But I'm just a little guy, you know? I mean, what's this about judgment and me? Did I do something so bad? No. The devil did. And Adam did. And so when Jesus Christ gave his life, and then when after God raised him from the dead, we were delivered from that judgment. Man was under that judgment up until that time. And they felt the wrath of it. But you guys are not under any judgment at all. I don't care how badly you feel. Or how good you feel. Or how religious you are. Or how sacrilegious you are. Doesn't matter. You are not under the condemnation of Adam. The things that Adam brought in because you were delivered by the works of Jesus Christ. But you have to put this all together. Wicked works? Judgment? Alienation? Yeah, granted, before you were born again, you're not part of God's family. But as soon as you were born again, you became part of God's family. Well, you're no longer alienated. So there's a couple sides to that coin of alienation. One of them is that, yeah, okay, I was born as a human and I wasn't born again yet. The other one is that you were born under the condemnation of Adam and that judgment. Because you didn't have Christ. So one's really big and one's a little thing. But both of them were fixed with Jesus Christ. Now, I know you guys know all this, but it's fun to talk about it. It's fun to get clear on it again, isn't it? So, verse 21, and you once being alienated, isn't that better? That's what it says. It says once being alienated. You know, the once thing is a one-time thing in the past too. But because of the works of Jesus Christ, it was brought to an abrupt halt. That's a lot different to me than and you that were sometime alienated. Sometime makes it think that you could kind of go in and out of it. Sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. I mean, there's a connotation associated with the word sometime. Okay? You can say, no, not with me. No, it just means one time in the past. Okay, fine. But there is a connotation with it as far as I'm concerned. But when you see once, and you once being alienated, which is what the text says, that's very clear. And it means it's not coming and going. Okay? And you once being alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. And those wicked works have more or less all to do with Satan and the stuff that he brought on mankind. Now, you could, again, I'll say it again, you could say, well, maybe I was wicked too. Okay, fine, whatever. But it's all over with now. And I really think it's talking about the greater thing. Yet now were you reconciled. In the body of his flesh through his death. One little period. Your mind thinks there's a period there because it's a separate verse. But there is no period there, so you should read it together. Yet now were you reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with what you did. And this is what paints sheer folly on the oracles of religion. Because they're always teaching that you have to do this. And you have to do that to be accepted in God's sight. That's not what the Bible says. These works are complete. The work was done. All of the work was done. And that's what you need to understand. Yet now were you reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death. It was his death that brought you the greatness of his family. To present you holy and unblameable, and here's a new one, unimpeachable before him. Not in his sight, but before him. Now you know what impeachment is. That's what some of us pray for every day. Not for us though. Yet now were ye reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death to present you holy and unblameable and unimpeachable before him. Think about it. Think about the practical implication of this. The next time you're walking down the street and you don't feel holy, put that back in your mind. You were already presented as holy to God before him. But I don't feel holy. Well, that doesn't matter. You were presented holy. And you can't change that at all by how you feel, by what you think, or what you do. Oh, wait a minute, Jerry. You're kind of stretching it there, don't you think? I mean, what if I go and do something really bad? What if I steal? Or what if I lie? Or what if I break one of the Ten Commandments? And I say, well, what if you read this verse again? Did it change? No. Yet now were you reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death, so that you could be presented holy. So it's a done deal. And unblameable. Unblameable. But people blame me for stuff all the time. Or I feel like I'm being blamed for stuff. Well, that's a good one. How many of you ever feel like you're being blamed? Like somebody's... Yeah. Well, you know, it says in Romans 7 that no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Why? Because of this. Because you were presented unblameable. It's like having Teflon sprayed all over you and nothing can stick to you. Nothing can stick. Pin the tail on the donkey, but you just don't happen to be the ass in this case. Okay? It's going to get pinned on somebody else. Not you. You're unblameable. I don't care how you act. I don't care how you feel. You were already presented unblameable. That's the way it is. Even if you don't believe it, it's still that way. That's a good thing. You know, there were years that we didn't understand this kind of stuff. And it was still true. And we still survived. But now that it's true, it's still true, but now that we know it, let's put it that way, we can do something with it up here in the battlefield. And those are major weapons of warfare, these things. To present you holy and unblameable and unimpeachable. I've told you about incorruptible seed. It can't get the chicken pox, the measles. It can't be contaminated by the devil. When God creates that seed of Christ in you, you're born again, and nothing can undo it. Here it is again. You, who you are in Christ, is unimpeachable. You can't be thrown out of office. You can't be thrown out of your stately, heavenly position. You just can't be. But Jerry, you don't understand. My church teaches that if I sin, I could go to hell. That my soul's going to go to hell. In fact, based on what they say, I feel I'm pretty much guaranteed to go to hell. Maybe they just won't throw me down all the way. And I say to you, I think you need to reread this verse. And understand that the Bible's going to contradict things that you're taught at different times in your life. And you're going to need to make a decision. Which one are you going to believe? It's up to you. I mean, I love you, but I can't make you believe anything. You have to decide. And you're going to come to many crossroads like that. And this is one of them. So we are holy and unblameable and unimpeachable before Him. Okay? Now I'm going to read this without any notes, anything, so that you can hear the whole verse 13 through 22 section. And this is a literal according to usage. Who delivered us from the authority of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of God the invisible, the firstborn of all creation. Because by the invisible God were all these possibilities created in the heavens and upon the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or principalities or authorities, all things by Him and for Him have been created. And He is before all things, and all things in Him subsist. And Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that He might be in all things holding the first place. Because in Jesus Christ, all the fullness was pleased to dwell. And by Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things unto itself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heavens. And you, once being alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now were ye reconciled in the body of his flesh through his death, to present you holy and unblameable and unimpeachable before him. So, my friends, we have been delivered, translated, redeemed, forgiven, and reconciled. The work has been done. No one or no thing can undo any of it at all, ever. No matter how the religions of the world try, the work of Christ became a final work, a one-time act in the past that applies to us forever. Never forget that the greatest need was taken care of by the greatest work, by the greatest man, for the greatest God. And you were the complete focus of it all. This is why Satan is forever focusing on your mind to make your mind think just the opposite. You have been delivered, translated, redeemed, forgiven, and reconciled. Period. Thank you.